You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Well, I know how it works. You have that moment of trepidation, that moment of, oh, it's a holiday weekend. Will Rothenberg be with us? I got a lot of tweets over the last couple days. Are you gonna be doing the show on Saturday? And I didn't respond specifically in the hopes that you would tune in right at 9 o'clock and listen in and then get my dulcet tones and then be in a good mood. Because we have, oh my, do we have a lot to get into today. Giants making moves, Jets starting Zach Wilson again, Knicks, if you're not concerned about the Knicks, then I don't understand how, in fact, you're not concerned about the Knicks. The Mets overnight, it's like Christmas happened last night for the Mets. I don't know if you're into the college basketball, but a monster game last night, Duke beating Gonzaga, which was a huge game, and maybe the two best freshmen in all of college basketball, maybe the two best players in all of college basketball for Duke and Gonzaga. But so much for us to get into. We start with the Mets. So I'm sure there are a lot of people that are taking a long weekend, right? And by the way, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. I'm sure, like me, you ate yourself almost sick, right? Like there was a time when I finished dessert on Thursday night, and I turned to my oldest, I turned to Ben, I said, I don't feel well. And he said, neither do I. He said, I've eaten too much. And that's what we do, right? That right there is the American way. We have days that we can pack this away, but in that moment Thursday, you need to eat to the point that you don't feel well. I did that. He did that. And I'm sure most of you listening right now also did that. So Thanksgiving, I hope you had a great family-filled, wonderful, healthy, safe Thanksgiving, each and every one of you out there, okay? But I think what we need to get into now is the Mets. And the Mets, and we'll get into the Knicks, I promise you, there has to be real concerns about the Knicks. But so the Mets go out there, and you find out yesterday, I guess late afternoon, early evening, Eduardo Escobar. Okay, all right, the Mets have made a move, Eduardo Escobar, and away we go. That's nice. Like, that's I guess he's going to be their third baseman. I assume VR is going to be gone, and J.D. Davis is probably going to be gone. And it looks like I have a new third baseman, Eduardo Escobar, who, not a young guy, but hits for power, decent average, like a legitimate baseball player. And you say, all right, at least the Mets are not going to be left out this entire offseason, Escobar. And he's a bat sixth kind of guy in your lineup, right? That's the kind of guy that he is. So, okay, Escobar added, fine. And then you find out, I don't know, maybe an hour or two later, that now they've gone ahead and they've added Mark Canha. And Mark Canha, good player, excellent, excellent outfielder, right? You probably put him, I imagine he's going to be your everyday or just about everyday left fielder. And it's a guy that bats bottom of your lineup, and he's got pop, and he's a nice player. And I think that probably, see, all these moves correspond, and you think probably mean the end of something else, right? I think that one means the end of Dom Smith. Okay, now, I'm going to reserve judgment on the Mets until we see the final. Like, this is a chess game, and this is Billy Epler actually going to sit here and stake his claim and make his move and determine what he sees the right thing for the Mets to do, and this is his long-term plan. So rather than have a move or two or three happen, and us to all of a sudden, you know, have a meltdown, or this is amazing, or we're awful, or we're great, or I don't like it, or I love it. I'm going to watch the long game. Like, this is like a hole in golf, okay? Hit the first shot, hit the second shot. This is a par five. Let me see how this plays out down the stretch, because they have to have more moves in the hopper. And then Starling Marte. Okay, this is the 4-year, $78 million. I got a text from a buddy of mine. Oh, how many good 33-year-old center fielders are there? This guy's coming off 47 steals last year. I mean, he's a Gold Glove caliber center fielder. So now all of a sudden your outfield is defensively probably as good as any outfield in all of baseball, right? You got Nimmo in right, Marte in center, Canha in left. That's a really, really good defensive outfield. And Marte is a prize jewel of free agency this year. He is not the prize jewel, but he's a big time acquisition. So I don't know how you could be a fan of the Mets and not like what they've done here. Now, again, they need more moves. they need pitching. Right now it's DeGrom, Carrasco, Walker, Peterson, McGill. That's not enough. And their bullpen lost Loop. And it's they lost, not that it's a bad loss, but they lost Familia as well. So my point is this. They now have a surplus of guys. They're going to take the Dom Smiths of the world and turn that, I would think, into, and again, remember, if they would have turned around and traded Dom Smith after last season, not this season, after last season, you probably would have gotten a real good piece in return. So Dom Smith had a down year, but he still has value. JD Davis, I think, still has some value. So let's wait and see if there's a Luis Castillo on the horizon. Let's wait and see what the Mets do with Stroman or Gossman or Robbie Ray or any of these guys. Okay, let's just wait and see. And that, to me, would be my answer. Let's wait and see what the Mets are, because I think that they're going to wind up being a pretty good team this year. And I think it all sits on the heels of Jacob DeGrom. What is Jacob DeGrom, in fact, going to be? Because if DeGrom is like we've become accustomed, the Mets are going to be a pretty good team, right? Because you got to figure they're going to add a second starter, maybe a third starter, and they're going to be a pretty good team. That's for starters. Secondly, what are they going to wind up doing the rest of the way here? Because if you add a Robbie Ray, and I put nothing in, and here's the thing. Steve Cohen, I find him very frustrating and very difficult. And I was talking to somebody yesterday with real, real deep knowledge of the Mets. And I said, I find him very difficult to deal with. And not like deal with on a media level or on a personal level. Just as a fan of a team, I find him very difficult to deal with as the owner of one of my teams. And this person who has a real close working knowledge of Steve Cohen said, his baby is his firm. Like the way he makes money is his baby. This is just a fun hobby for him. This is an enjoyable side business for him. It's not for you. It's not for me, right? We live and die with this team. But for him, this is, I own the Mets. I own artwork. I own a private island. Like, these are fun side jobs for me. I don't see it like that. But I think that the way he comes across is not great at times. But what I believe he can do, and I think that he is starting to show that, is he can outspend you. Okay, and I think there probably is a real negative connotation when it comes to the Mets around baseball, and a real negative feel when it comes to Steve Cohen around baseball. But that being said, he can outspend it. So if you don't like him, if you're annoyed by him, if you're frustrated with him, you can still see that this guy can spend, you know, good money after bad to put this team together the way that Billy Epler, Sandy Alderson, whoever the manager is going to be, that has to be the goal. And right now, I like what the, I mean, I don't know how you couldn't like what they've done. Defensively, they're way better. Now they have a surplus of pieces that they can go ahead and trade and move on from and bring in a second and maybe third starter. I mean, if Carrasco, if you bring in Stroman and someone else, and your starting rotation is DeGrom, Stroman, Gausman, Walker, and Carrasco, that's a legitimate starting rotation. And then you'll need to patch up the bullpen, and then away we go. But I don't know how you couldn't feel pretty good. Pretty good. Not like you didn't land Corey Seager or Carlos Correa or Javi Baez yet, but I do believe Baez comes back. But I feel good about it, and I will leave it at that. So 1-800-919-3776. And again, December 1st is kind of your line of demarcation. That's when there's a stoppage to baseball. So today's what, the 27th? You have Saturday the 27th, Sunday the 28th, Monday the 29th, Tuesday the 30th, and that's it for we don't know how long. So the next 4 days in Major League Baseball, I envision is going to be a very fast, very furious, very hot couple of days in hot stove baseball. All right, so I don't know what that, I think you probably have an answer on Stroman. You already got the answer on Mats. And the whole way that Steve Cohen just freaked out about Steven Matz. Now, I think to act like that regardless is a little bit silly. Even if you feel like you were wronged by the agent. All right, so what? Second of all, Steven Matz was a Met for a long time. Did you ever look and say to yourself, boy, Steven Matz, he's special. Like, he's got it. I want to sign Steven Matz to a four-year, $44-plus million deal? No. No, if you would have said to me, all right, you can have Steven Matz 4 years, $50 million. You want it? No, I don't want it. All right, Matz was here. Matz was not good. Matz went to Toronto. Matz was good. I don't know that Steven Matz in New York is an appropriate fit. So I don't want any part of it. And Cohen was so bothered by the way it was handled that he was, I mean, he was beside himself. But I don't need that. And you think that Matz's agent, the only guy that he represents is Steven Matz? So now you're going to start to take shots at the agents? For what? For what would be my question. So again, I like what the Mets are doing. I still think there's a lot of moves to be done. I think you're going to add at least one, if not two starters. You've got to really fortify the bullpen, and you have a surplus of pieces now that you'll go ahead and you'll trade. So I'm cautiously optimistic and cautiously excited, but it is very, very early stages of that. All right, so the Mets on the table, 1-800-919-3776. You know what we're going to do here today? Because this is such a busy, set-the-table kind of day, is we are going to do just that. We're going to put it up there. Like, I'm sure most of you had a buffet, right? You don't have plates served to you. You have the buffet. Mets up on the buffet. They are up, and it's steaming hot. So dig into the Mets. 1-800-919-3776. Let's take the Knicks, and let's put them right up there on the buffet. All right? And I do not know how you could be a fan of the Knicks and not have some legitimate concern right now. There was a moment which to me, and they're going to lose that game. And it's not losing to Phoenix that's so distressing. First of all, they beat the Lakers the other night. You know why they beat the Lakers. I know why they beat the Lakers. If LeBron plays in that game, the Knicks lose that game. But you know what? Fine. I'm not giving back a win, and that's fine. So the Knicks get the win. You're excited about it, and away you go. All right? Now you say, all right, now it's Phoenix. Hottest team in the NBA. They've won, what, 14 in a row. They can't lose. They have a huge game against Brooklyn tonight. Big, 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 big deal. Great. Okay? Now, let's think about this. Okay? The Knicks can't they can't compete. Like, let's be fair. The Knicks did not deserve to be on the same court last night as the Phoenix Suns. The game was, for lack of a better term, non-competitive against the Phoenix Suns. And there was one moment. They would have lost this game regardless. But there was one moment yesterday that, as I'm watching it, made me just shake my head and very upset, to be frank with you. Knicks are down, I don't know, 10-ish, 12, second quarter. They're very annoyed. Thibodeau doesn't like what he sees, takes a timeout. Fine. They take a timeout, full break, to commercial. They come back, getting ready to start the game. They inbounds the ball. They turn it over. It winds up in the corner to Jay Crowder. He hits a three off of a timeout. Off of a timeout. You turn the ball over, leave Phoenix open for a three. They knock it home, and you lose the game. Disgusting. Last night was disgusting. And I'm going to, well, it's early. Well, you know what? It's not that early. It's not, you're a quarter of the way through the season. It's not that early. And I think, and I got to be honest, I sit here right now, I think that the Knicks, and I hate to say it, and you know I love them, and we all love them, and I don't think this is a wild statement to make. First of all, Walker, Fournier, defensively, we've discussed that. They have not meshed. They don't look right. I'm going to throw this out there, and you're going to blame me if and when it happens, and I don't want the blame. It's not my fault. I think you have to have real concerns and real, I don't know the word I'm looking for, real awareness that I don't think, and I'm sorry to have to say this and make the turkey come up and ruin your Thanksgiving weekend, I think there's a real chance that the Knicks are not a postseason team. A real, real chance. And that pains me to say. 1-800-919-3776. It's a holiday weekend, so you're probably more relaxed than normal, but it's what we do. We have Stump Rothenberg at 10:30. We have RJ Bell at 11. We'll bring in the great Ty Butler to get his take on the Thanksgiving holiday and and his eating progress and the Mets and the Knicks. We'll do that next and say good morning to him. We'll get to a lot of your calls. And on the buffet right now, the Mets and the Knicks with more to be added.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
How about them Cowboys, huh? I mean, what a treat. I'm sure the great Ray Santiago was just, you know, belching up mashed potatoes as he was watching that Dallas defense. I know what he'll do. He's a big Cowboys apologist, so when I talk to him on Monday, he'll be, oh, the officiating was just so bad. Oh, my God, is that Dallas defense. What a treat. I mean, no Darren Waller, obviously no Henry Ruggs, but Zay Jones, but DeSean Jackson. But Hunter Renfro, oh, did I? I mean, my Thanksgiving was great anyway. We had a really nice Thanksgiving. But to sit there and as a family, just be able to enjoy and soak in a Cowboys loss like that. And I know that some of you think, you know, you're just a bad guy for feeling this way. Then so be it. Then I'm a bad guy. One tweet I want to read and get into quickly, and then we'll bring in the great Ty D. Butler, Newhouse School of Communications, as you know. Junior Brown tweets in, Mets getting a little long in the tooth. Need to go young and build up the farm, but management doesn't know that yet. Before we destroy Billy Epler, can the guy, like, unpack his suitcase here, please? That's all I'm asking. Starling Marte is a big-time player. All right, Mark Canna is a good player. Escobar is a good player. They're older, sure, but before we freak out about it, can we just see what his game plan, in fact, is? And I'll leave it at that. So unless there's a signing that you absolutely, unequivocally detest, can you give the guy the benefit of the doubt for a minute? All right. Now, as I said, Mets on the table, Knicks on the table. We'll go Giants. I'm going to excoriate the Giants, by the way. So angry with the Giants. Jets, you just shake your head when it comes to the Jets. But let's bring in a man who adores Thanksgiving, and that is the great Ty D. Butler, Newhouse School of Communications. Good morning, Ty. How are you?
David, good morning. A lot of things I'm thankful for. Okay. A tremendous Thanksgiving, you know, spent with the family. It was the first one for Noah.
Yes.
It was excellent. Wife looking fantastic, by the way. She got all dressed up, dolled up.
Really?
Reminded me of why I married her in the first place.
Now, how
place.
Big was... Did she just get all dolled up for you, or were there other people that were involved
no,
in this?
No, she was, you know, she was feeling good post... post giving birth 5 months ago, removed. You want to come out and, you know, show a little something. So I was very excited about that. A lot going well. Things I'm not thankful for. How about this? My basketball team last night losing in triple overtime to the Kings. So now I'm sleep deprived.
You stayed up for the entirety of that game?
Stayed up for the entirety of the game. I'm sleep deprived. Got a long day ahead of me. Because after the show, we're going to Jersey. Then I got to be back here at 6 a.m. So we're not off to a great start. But I'll find a way to make my way through it.
So is that what you just wanted the microphone so you could complain that you're tired?
Well, no, not that I'm tired. It's just the Lakers lost last night. The Jets play tomorrow. And we're staring at, by the way, if they get blown out by the Texans tomorrow, how are we
not? That's not going to happen.
There is a scenario that exists where the Jets get blown out by the Texans tomorrow.
I don't see that. They could lose, but yeah. I don't see that. And really, I will say this to you. The only thing I look at for the Jets and say has to happen, just Zach Wilson play well. That's it.
No, I get it.
That's really all you need. But if Zach Wilson plays well and the Jets lose this game 24-17, you will not be horrified come Monday morning.
No,
you won't.
But my biggest fear is we get to... You know, tomorrow at 4:15, we're listening to Dan Grasse and Greg Boda right here on 98.7 ESPN break
nice
down.
Plug. Well done.
Jets losing 34-13.
Oh no.
And Monday morning, we are now sounding the alarms on both Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh.
Well, I will say this. Sounding the alarms feels a little premature to me, but... If you get, the Texans are not good.
They're bad. I know they beat the Titans last week.
But they're not good. I mean, you would say the Jets are not good, right?
They're not.
The Jets also beat the Titans. So yes. Let's, right, and the Jets beat the Bengals as well.
They did.
So let's just hold our horses before we get crazy. They're not going to get hammered by Houston.
They shouldn't.
You can't.
And I get it. I'm being hyperbolic, just to make the point, like if we get, I never bought into this idea that, you know, this season isn't about wins and losses for the Jets. Are you a playoff team? No. Are we expecting you to win 8-9 games? No. But if you get to the end of the year and you're at 14 losses, half of them coming by double digits, you're getting blown out by every team in your division, and you've got that Texans loss that I'm alluding to tomorrow, like that's a cause for concern, because it would feel like you're going backwards.
You could be going backwards. Listen, I need to see a step. I don't need to see Joe Montana. I don't need to see greatness. I need to see Zach Wilson look more competent tomorrow than he did last time I saw him. Correct. That's all I need. And I don't think that's asking for too much.
Because last time we saw, like since the last time we've seen Wilson, we have seen Jet quarterback play improve. So now you come back tomorrow and you're bad.
Against a team that's not good.
Yeah, so that.
Again, and all of a sudden, Elijah Moore is a legitimate weapon. Now, you won't have Michael Carter, and that certainly hurts. But, I mean, just go out there and give me something. But you're right. If the Jets go out and they get hammered in this game, there will be, and rightfully so, an uproar.
It's not because, that they think it's going to happen. It's my biggest fear.
Yeah. No, I understand.
Because it's Jets. Like, it would be a Jets thing to – and I've been a fan of this team my whole life.
How did that happen, by the way? What's the impetus behind
– It's like my uncle. It's terrible.
Do you ever sit with him and be like, you know what? I hate you. Like you were a free agent. You could have gone anywhere. You're a little boy, probably an adorable little boy, looking up at your uncle saying, like, who do I root for, Uncle? And he says, little Ty, root for the Jets. That moment, he irreparably damaged your whole life.
He did. And I actually had a moment last night. I'm on the couch watching Nick's sons after Noah takes a bath. The PJs he puts on, not he puts on, but my wife puts on, wifey I should say, puts on Jets PJs. And I'm like, what a terrible parental decision.
So you're going to do this to him too?
I'm doing the same thing to him. Now, thank God, he's a Lakers fan as well. He's chosen to
But do you root for know the life you're setting this kid up for?
It's misery.
But you know it. Therein lies the issue. You know that you're doing wrong by him, and you're doing it regardless.
But you can look at it a different way. Now that I'm thinking this through, at some point the correction is going to happen, right? Like, I know the Lions have been rebuilding since when they won the last 57. Was that the year they won?
It's been forever.
It's
the
been
Lions?
Forever.
Yes.
Yeah, it's been forever. So I know, the Jets, that correction has to come at some point. Like, you can't just be bad forever.
Mm-hmm.
I use the Lions because they've been bad since since 57.
I think the Lions, I think they've won. One or two playoff games in 50 years.
Yes,
the Lions.
And Fox put a graphic up the other day. They've owned like every drought, so that's like the outlier. If you're a Jet fan, at some point,
well, listen.
The correction
this
is
idea
happen.
That the Jets or the Lions or the Browns is just stupid, right? They went to two AFC Championship games with Rex Ryan.
They did.
They went to the playoffs numerous times with Herm Edwards. They went to an AFC Championship game with Parcells. They went to an AFC Championship game in the early 80s and lost to the Dolphins. Like, this idea that they've had zero success is just. It's just not true.
No, but we're so far removed. Like, if you're 28 years old, if you're me, we're so far removed from tasting any ounce of success, it feels like it never happened.
It feels like it never happened. So let's go back to this, and then we'll break and come back and get to the calls. 1-800-919-3776. And that is the Mets. Now, you heard my take on the Mets in the opening segment, and I stand by it. I feel good about what they've done. I'm not ecstatic. I feel good about it, and I think these are the first couple of moves to what are going to be a lot of moves this offseason. You're a Yankees fan, so I actually kind of respect your opinion here. You don't feel badly about what the Mets have done here,
no.
Do you?
I thought yesterday was tremendous for them. Now, I don't love how the week starts with your owner, you know, going to war.
And I said that.
With an agent on Twitter.
I think it's a horrendous look for
good organizations don't do that. You know, Joe Lacob, when Kevin Durant didn't sign back in Golden State, isn't, you know, going at Rich Kleiman on Twitter. Like, look at what good organizations do. That's not what happens. But to your point, you should feel pretty good about what happened yesterday. One of the best free agents on the market. Yeah, he's 33, but you filled a hole of need. It probably means Conforto's gone, but after last season, I think
we knew that anyway, didn't we?
Yeah.
Like, we were under the impression that Conforto was going to be gone.
Yeah, but after last season, it's funny to think this guy wanted $200 million. The Mets dodged a bullet there. But yeah, DeGrom, you're right. Like, that is what you bake into any you know, recipe for success for the Mets. Like, he has to be sensational in order for them to be a really good team. This was a disappointment. But next year, you know, you go in with some new pieces, you should feel pretty good. Because that division, I know the Braves just won the title, but that division every year is winnable. Every single year.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you win 90 games and you're a playoff team. And there's no reason the Mets can't get to 90. But again, I mean, this is a big-time player.
Yeah.
He is. He's a big-time player.
Yankees were in on it. The Yankees, from all the reports,
Love to have to put Starling Marte in center field.
They were in on him, but hopefully this just means that Carlos Correa, you know, the money they were going to give to Marte, they had to, you know, cash it in on Correa.
And you're fine with that, right? Correa, you'd be okay with?
Yeah, I was
even
talking
though he's
to
said
a
some
Yankee
things over the years
the
about the Yankees.
Day. I was talking to a Yankee fan the other day. He's like, I don't want that guy. And I'm like, why? Did you hear what he said about Derek Jeter? Are you kidding me?
No, but that's not isolated to that one guy. I think that really is the belief of a lot of Yankees
fans.
Listen,
no one loves
Jeter.
You might love Jeter as much as me. No one loves Derek Jeter more than me. Like, I'm at 100 out of 100. The difference between me and one of the best players in the game isn't going to be him saying something mean about Jeter. I'm sorry.
And you know what? It wasn't even mean.
He gave his take.
It might have been unnecessary. I don't think it was wrong.
What? I don't care.
Nor should you.
I don't care enough.
Nor should Carlos Correa could walk up and punch Derek Jeter in the nose. And if I was a Yankees fan, I'd be like, yeah, you know what? I don't care. Sign him to a monster deal.
That would be so rude.
Well, I'm not saying it would be a classy thing to do, but my point is I don't care. I need him. I want him. He's a great player. Big win for the Rangers yesterday, huh? That was something beautiful. Now, Ty, are you a Rangers fan or even like a Fugazi Rangers fan?
Where you're Fugazi. Kind of,
yeah. So like you don't love them, but when they're doing well and they're relevant, you're involved.
Yes. Very
involved. That was quite the win yesterday up in Boston.
That was sensational.
Lafreniere with a huge goal. Panarin just batting it out of the midair. They're special. I think this is a good team, and Shesterkin is just sensational.
13-4 right now.
13-4 right now.
Pretty good team.
Yeah.
Not a good team. Your New York Knickerbockers.
Mediocre.
Last night was not good.
Like they're mediocre.
Last night was not great.
Last night was dreadful.
So you mentioned in the open.
And I thought it was a great statement that fell on deaf ears with you. And I'd like to revisit that right now.
What's that?
I made the statement. Now, I want to be wrong, absolutely, but I will say it here on November 27th, and you can circle it, and we can bring it back on a weekly or however you'd like. I think there is real concerns, and if you put a gun to my head right now, I would say the Knicks do not make the postseason.
That's fair. They're only in the playoffs right now by a game, so they're the eighth seed, but trailing them are the Cavs at 9-10. So they're a game up on the Cavs, and it's early. But like,
Toronto's a good team.
Toronto's becoming a good
Indiana
team.
Indiana is a – there's two teams in the East that you look at, you're like, are they stink?
The Pistons
and that's Orlando and,
the and
Detroit.
Yeah.
Orlando has beaten you twice this year.
And those are non-factors. But, I mean, you mentioned in your open, last night the Knicks – there are certain things in sports that can't happen, right? Like first or last out made at third base in baseball, out of a timeout in football, a false start or a penalty. You made the point the Knicks last night, twice out of a timeout, turned the ball over. Immediately.
It was gross.
Immediately.
It really was repulsive.
The second
quarter where they took a full timeout. They come back, they inbound it, they turn it over, and it winds up in the hands of Jay Crowder, who knocks down a three, and I think it went from like 12 to 15. I was like, you know what? This is I was so angry watching it at that moment.
It happened in the second quarter, and then they doubled down, and it happened again in the third quarter. That can't happen.
How does that happen?
Your two best players are supposed to be who for your Knicks? RJ
Barrett.
I
guess Randall and Barrett,
yes.
But I don't know if that's what you're looking for.
Yes, those are supposed to be your two best players. Last night, 19 points on 6 of 18 shooting. That's not going to get it done.
Combined.
19 points on 6 of 18 shooting. Meanwhile, Devin Booker's going on. I think we're starting to see some trends with the Knicks. Now it's too early to panic.
You know what? Everyone says it's too early. When is it not too early?
It's
we're a quarter of the way into the season.
But they're still like in the playoffs. And, you know, they're a three-game winning streak away from being what?
Well, like what are they? They have Atlanta tonight, right?
On a back-to-back, which is tough.
I mean, I'm sorry. For me, so you think I'm prematurely having reservations about what's going on
here?
Then
you get Brooklyn on Tuesday. No, I don't think it's premature. I said it's too soon to panic, like to hit the panic button. But there are some growing concerns because we're seeing some trends develop that are just unfavorable. And my question to you is this, like, great teams have a player answer. And what I mean by that is Devin Booker's going off last night. Great teams have that Giannis, that KD, that guy that can go bucket for bucket with a Devin Booker. You don't have that. You didn't have that in the playoffs with Trae Young.
They've never had it. Listen, Julius Randle is the closest thing, but let's be fair. And he was better than anticipated, and he was worthy of everything he got last year. He is not a great player. If you build a team around Julius Randle, this is the kind of team you're going to have.
But that's the problem, Dave. And
I understand what the problem is. The problem is that your bench is better than your starters right now.
Which is not good.
Is that your starting backcourt is not good. Is that this is now year three of R.J. Barrett. And, I mean, it's the same concerns that you had in year one.
Sometimes you forget he's on the court.
A lot of times. It's the fact that Julius Randle, let's be fair, guys, has regressed tremendously from what he was last year to what he is this year. The fact that, for some reason, Knicks fans just are in love with the potential of Mitchell Robinson, yet every time he's out there on the court and does anything, I think to myself, he's going to be out for the year because we're always like one little tweak away from something terrible happening. And very infrequently do I get the production that I'm looking for Mitchell Robinson. I think that there's real reason to be upset about what the Knicks are right now.
Of course. And we saw it in the playoffs last year. You didn't have an answer for Trae Young. You need the guy. And if Julius Randle's your best player, are you a really good team? And this is the point I was trying to make to you last week, and you just weren't having it. Like, all the Knicks fans are clamoring for more Obi Toppin and Emmanuel Quickly minutes. Which I understand because they've played well.
I got to see more. I got to see more of both. I stand by that.
I get it. But my only retort to that is if the number one adjustment, like the biggest adjustment you're going to make on your team is to have these guys playing more, I think it means that your roster's flawed.
I think their roster is flawed. Their starting backcourt can't defend anybody.
Thibodeau is taking some heat for rotation. I don't think this is coaching. I think that the roster just has some major issues. Kemba Walker is not a starting point guard.
Kemba Walker shouldn't be on the team. All right, the signing of Evan Fournier at the time, do you remember I was like, this is a terrible signing. And then, yeah. Now this guy could score 20 points a game. When you're on Orlando and they're going to win 22 games and they're horrendous, and they're down by 18 in the fourth quarter, is Evan Fournier a guy that I look at and I say, yeah, you know what? Now is his time to shine. Sure. In a big moment of a big game, do I turn to Evan Fournier? No, the answer is no.
Anytime I see organizations that I consider to be well-run, who view themselves as contenders, and they're just like, they're better off without a guy, I have reservations. The Celtics had Fournier. The Celtics feel like they're a legitimate player, and they just let him go. I'm all good, thanks. They had Kemba, so you signed two guys the Celtics thought they would be better without.
That's right. Now, I want to ask you this. Not a real New York Giants fan tweets this, and he tweeted to you as well, and I think this is unfair because I'm giving my honest assessment. Now I'm a bad guy. Knicks not making the playoffs is a strong statement. Dave is not a follower for sure.
Yeah.
So am I not a Knicks fan because I have an opinion that the Knicks might not make the postseason?
And you are a verified Knicks hater.
You didn't even say they would miss the playoffs. You're just saying you're concerned. Like you're starting to see.
No, but if you said to me, here's $1 million, bet it on the Knicks make it or they don't make it. I bet it that they don't make it.
And that's fair. I don't think that makes.
But how does that not? Listen, I think the Giants stink right now. Am I not a Giants fan? What do you think? You think the Jets are great?
They're fantastic.
Do you? I mean, does that mean you're not a Jets fan? What I do not understand, and they really destroyed me in Raleigh for this because it's a college town and I would get after college kids, but I do not understand why, if it's a team that I root for, I can't be hard on them. Why can't I look at my teams and say, the Mets have been an embarrassment?
They want you to be a homer.
But I will not be that person. I'm not going. If that's what you're looking for, turn on another station. Really. If you're looking for a host to just come on and say, this guy's great, and Julius Randle is the best, and I wouldn't trade him for anybody, and Obi Toppin is sensational, and Daniel Jones is the answer, and Joe Judge is great, and blah, blah, blah. Turn on another station. I will not now, nor will I ever give that to you.
Now, I think you're being fair. So coming up, you're at Atlanta, in Brooklyn, then you're home for Chicago and Denver.
All right, so give me this again. At Atlanta, you don't love. What's the number on that tonight? Nick's got to be getting 5, right?
I believe it's 4.5.
Atlanta's also on a 7-game winning streak, which is not great.
I believe it's 4.5.
I will double check
that.
I have 5.5.
5.5 is the number.
How good is that Suns Nets game tonight, by the way?
Oh, Suns on a back to back 15-game winning streak in Brooklyn. That'll be fun. So then you go to Brooklyn.
That's a beauty.
You go to Brooklyn on Tuesday. Then you're home for Chicago.
All right, so that's three games in a row that you don't love your chances.
You're home for Chicago. You've actually played them pretty well, but that, I mean, they're still better.
What are you, 1-1 against the Bulls this year?
You're 1-1 against the Bulls. And the one that you won, you tried to blow it late, but you won. Then next Saturday, you're home for the Nuggets, who are dealing with a lot of injuries.
But there's not an easy game on the horizon. At San Antonio,
at Indiana, at Toronto, home for Milwaukee, home for Golden State.
Right, so your next 10 games are, if I told you you're going to go 5-5 in your next 10, you'd be thrilled with that. You would be thrilled with that. So now we're 30 games into the season. And then people say, well, at what point is it not early? At what point can I look at it and say, you know what? We're not three games in. They're not 1-2. And I'm like, I'm noticing a trend. They're 10-9. They played a lot of basketball. And I have reservations about what they are. Let's go to Spike in St. Petersburg. Good morning, Spike. You're on 98.7.
Well, good morning and happy Thanksgiving. I'm sure you had a wonderful time. I want to go back to something I think Jake said about the Maurice Cheeks college being incorrect. Now, I followed the Sixers a lot and went to a lot of games down in the Spectrum in the 80s. And the PA announcer, as you know, was Dave Zinkoff. And they always say Doc for the last, of course. But he always introduced Maurice Cheeks from West Texas State and Andrew Tony from Southwest Louisiana. So I'm not so sure you got that question wrong. You could do a little research.
Well, I did, regardless of whether it's West Texas State or West Texas A&M. I said Texas A&M. So I did get it incorrectly.
Okay. Well, I'm saying, did they fold West Texas State into Texas A&M? Technically,
no,
anyway.
I don't think. I think that Texas, or they called it West Texas State, kind of morphed into West Texas A&M.
Okay.
But it's not. None of them are considered the originator, which I believe is Texas A&M.
Okay, well, trying to help you. Okay, so here we go. The Knicks, you have to be concerned, number one, because the backcourt, I said this after five games, Evan Fournier, as you perfectly alluded to, is a guy in a bad team that can score, but he still can score, so bring him off the bench. I thought Kemba, he looks washed up to me. I really think he looks washed up, but you got a pretty favorable deal. He's eventually going to put Quickly into the starting lineup. I don't think there's any choice but to do that. And you also have to remember, Derrick Rose wasn't there. And he's been the heart and soul of this team. Julius Randle has regressed. Barrett will be a pretty good defensive player. He's really not a good shooter. And that's what you have. You have to say the two bottom feeders you mentioned, but I think a couple of the other teams could come back. But I take 5-5 right now, and I'll sign for it.
Of course you would. And thanks for the call, Spike, and happy holidays to you as well. Of course you would. I mean, you are right now ahead of, you're tied with Philadelphia. You're a half game ahead of Boston. You're a game ahead of Cleveland. You're a game and a half ahead of Toronto. And you're two games ahead of Indiana. But do you look at Indiana and say, we're just better than Indiana? I don't. I'm going to be honest with you. If you told me, how many teams are in the Eastern Conference, Ty? 15, right?
15.
If you told me the Knicks finished 13th in the East, I would not think that you're, like, certifiable.
I was just going to ask you, how many teams in the Eastern Conference do you know for sure right now that you're better than? And those are the two teams who aren't even trying.
Two. Detroit. I would say Cleveland as well, but I don't think that's, like, a just clearly obvious, right? But I think two obvious – again – if you told me the Knicks finished 13th in the conference, I wouldn't think that you should be, like, you know, run away to some kind of an institution.
Could you imagine going from hosting a home playoff series last year to finishing 13th?
Now, that being said, if you told me the Knicks are the sixth seed, I don't think that's wild either. Like, do I think that Charlotte could come back to life and Washington could come back to life? Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah, but the problem with being the 60, being any of those, you know, four, five,
yeah, you're going up against Miami.
Yeah, I mean, six and under, you're going up against Brooklyn, Chicago,
Milwaukee, Miami. One of the elites, right?
You got to avoid that.
Again, let's be fair. Unless something dramatically changes, the Knicks are not going to be a second round team this year.
No.
They're not.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
He's pompous.
Listen, shut up and I'll tell you the story.
He's arrogant.
Do you think there's a lot of things out there that I wouldn't be good at?
And sometimes he's downright mean.
I know you know what that's like, to be that uncomfortable, pimply face, not very popular kid.
But now it's your chance to prove him wrong.
It's dumb.
Call 800-919-3776 with your question and let's stump Dave Rothenberg.
Well, we'll see. Many have tried. Very few have succeeded. Stump Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by Sloman's and NYSSPCA, the New York Structural Steel Painting Contractors Association. Ty D. Butler, give me an update of where we sit right now on Stump Rothenberg.
All right. So after last week's 11-1 performance, mm-hmm. we have now improved our record overall on the season to 335-71.
That's pretty good, yeah?
That's not bad. Not too shabby.
Now, what are you looking for today? Over under on losses today? 2.5?
I like that number.
Where would you bet?
I'm going to take the under 2.5.
Jake, what would you take, the over or under of 2.5?
Life's too short to go the under. I'm going over.
Wow.
Very disrespectful.
Very disrespectful.
Well, it's because I think I can finally stump you. I think today's the day.
Have you ever stumped me?
I don't think so.
We actually had a caller maybe about an hour ago said, Jake's got to stop with the gimme stump Rothenberg questions. Like, he's babying Dave. He's like, I love Jake.
Has he ever gotten any of your college questions wrong?
Last week, he got it wrong. We said that.
The first one
49-1.
You give him like 5 every week, buddy.
But the answer to the question is yes. He's gotten one wrong before.
All right. Let's stop you ladies bickering and let's get along with the segment. Steve in Brooklyn. Steve, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Morning, babe. I have a post-Thanksgiving related sports question for you.
All right.
So which NFL player has appeared in the most Thanksgiving Day games all time?
Oh. So you got to think it's obviously going to be a Lion or a Cowboy.
And a bonus if you guess how many games the guy played in.
All right, I'm gonna guess 13.
More.
Yeah, wow.
I'll say that.
It's got to be a Cowboy. It's got to be like an offensive lineman or defensive lineman. I'm not gonna be right. I'll be 0-1. Jake, it's a good start for you. I'm going to guess. How long has Stafford been in the league? Danny White, quarterback. I know this is taking a long
time. I got a decent college guy too, if I can make it through. So maybe today's the day. We'll see.
Oh,
maybe
he today. Sounds confident. Which
well, it sounds like he's already like chalked this one up. Is
No, well, you sounded like you chugged one up. I think this one is pretty. I thought it's.
This is not an easy stop. This is not an easy question. I really don't know. Could it be Danny White? Danny White played for a long time. I'm gonna say Night Train Lane.
So it wasn't a Cowboy. It was a Detroit Lion, a forever Detroit Lion. Jason Hanson, 20 games.
Oh, yes. Jason Hanson, the kicker. All right, so put him on hold. That's 0-1.
Wow, that under not looking great.
No.
I feel great. Saying.
You know what? Let's take it easy. Let's settle down. Let's go to Luke in Connecticut before we freak out. Luke, good morning. You're on Stump Rothenberg.
Morning, Dave. Let's go, Rangers. And I might say, you know, since we made this bet, the Rangers have been doing pretty well.
They really have. And maybe it's because of your fandom.
Yeah. All right. So let's see if I can end this. The actor, Terry Crews. Know him, right?
What actor?
He's Terry Crews. You know,
oh, okay.
White Chicks. He was an NFL player. What team drafted him?
I think the Rams. but he was all over the place. But I think the Rams drafted him. Final answer.
Let's go Rangers.
You see that? All right. You feel a little bit better, Jake? Or no, you still feeling confident?
Well, I'm hoping that I could stump you, so that would be the second or third one. Hopefully, I could be that one that pushes it.
The one that puts it over the top?
Yes, oh, how
you would adore that, wouldn't
you?
I would
love it. Happy Hanukkah.
Oh, happy Hanukkah to you. All right, Chris and Beth Page, man, that appreciates the segment like no other. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Dave. If vow renewal has showed us one thing from the Real Housewives, they always end in failure and divorce. So just never go to a vow renewal ceremony.
I never would. I never would. I think it's repulsive. Go ahead. What do you got?
All right, Dave. Two great pitchers have had more than 3,000 strikeouts and more than 20 home runs.
Wait. Allowed more than
No.
Give me this again.
They've had 3,000 strikeouts, and they hit 20 home runs or more.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Could it be CC Sabathia? I mean, you think about the 3,000 strikeout club. It's not that huge. It's Nolan Ryan, right? Who it's not. Could be Tom Seaver. Tom Seaver hit home runs. Sabathia, but I don't think Sabathia hit 20. Be a lot of home runs. This is going to take me forever. I mean, it's not like I'm choosing from 50 guys.
No, I think it's like 16 guys.
Yeah. So I wonder if it's Tom Seaver. That's the first one because he was a good hitter. I would think that he's probably up there. Steve Carlton, but I don't remember Carlton being a good hitter. I don't know that Seaver. 20 home runs is a lot. I wonder if it's Sabathia. Because he was a monster hitter, but 20 is a lot of home runs. Don Sutton? I mean, 20 home runs, you're looking at, that's... How about Walter Johnson? Could he have been a home run guy? I don't know if he was a good hitter or not. God, yeah, I don't think I have the answer to this. I'm going to guess Walter Johnson for one. Was Ferguson Jenkins another one? I don't think it's Sabathia. I don't think he hit that many. Did Phil Niekro hit? Because I think Phil Niekro is over 3,000 strikeouts. All right, I'm going to go Walter Johnson. That's going to be one answer.
All right, that's right. He's
that's
one.
Right? That's correct?
Yeah, you're right.
Well, that's only one, and you said I have to get two, though, right?
Right. It's a very, select category, obviously. Only two guys did it.
There's no way Nolan Ryan did it. There's no way Randy Johnson did it. Clemens didn't do it. Burt Blylevin was in the American League. It can't have been him. I don't think Seaver got to 20. I don't think Don Sutton. Can't have been Gaylord Perry. I mean, there's not a ton of guys is the issue here that have gotten. I don't think it's Gaylord Perry. So what did I got Walter Johnson, right?
Correct.
I don't think it's Greg Maddux. Who else? I think Scherzer's 3,000 Ks, but there's no way that he's... There's no way that he's there. I I'm going to guess, and this is purely a guess, Bob Gibson.
That's right. You got him, Dave. Both of them.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it took you long enough. I thought.
You know what? I don't want to hear that. It was a good question. It was a fair question, and it was a hard question.
Might have to ask Ryan to push Anita's show back to 2 o'clock.
So what are you looking for from me?
I'm looking for you to be more efficient. How about that? 2-1. We've got 3 questions in 15 minutes.
All right. I don't think you're being very nice. I'm gonna start with that. So should I just answer it incorrectly, and then you're like, no, I'm sorry, you're 1-2?
No.
Is that what you're looking for?
Let's take one more, and then we break.
Why don't we go with Jake from State Farm? Jake, go ahead.
All righty, Dave. Well, we've had a couple of football questions today, and mine is also a football question.
Okay.
You know, Thanksgiving night, watching some football, and I'm watching the Bills-Saints game, and one of those cool graphics come on. And I see those a lot, and I'm like, wow, that might be a good Stump Rothenberg question.
All right.
So my question for you today is, earlier this season, Emmanuel Sanders caught a touchdown reception from Josh Allen. Josh Allen was the 11th different quarterback that Sanders has caught an NFL touchdown from in his career. So, Dave, my question for you, who holds the record for the most touchdown receptions from the most different quarterbacks?
Ooh.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I'm not an idiot. I understand what you're saying. So the guy has caught the most touchdowns from the most different quarterbacks.
Correct. And I'll give you the number. It was 19 different quarterbacks.
Wow.
So this is a guy who's played on a lot of teams. Brandon Marshall immediately comes to mind.
Look at you playing the game.
I don't like the rudeness in Jake's direction, by the way. I just wanted to make sure you understood the question. It's complex.
No, I don't think it was all that nice, to be honest with you.
I don't care what you guys are saying today. Let's see if you can get this one right. And I'll give you one more.
I think
Jerry
Rice is probably up there.
This guy was actually only on 4 teams. So 19 different quarterbacks with 4 teams.
So I'm thinking Jerry Rice or Andre Rison.
Jerry, I think Jerry technically did play on 4 teams. Didn't he end in 2?
No, Rison played on more. You know who I bet you was a lot, but I think he's only played on 1 team. Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah. That's only 1 team, though.
Right? But think about the amount of different quarterbacks. Now, was this guy... I know you're not supposed to answer this, and I'm just throwing it out there. And you don't have to answer it. I'm wondering if he was the number one pick in the draft.
Yeah, we're not going to answer that.
Yeah, no, I know you're not.
Yeah, I'm not answering that.
Nor should you. Because then it could be Irving Fryer, who was drafted by the Patriots, and I believe also played on the Eagles, the Dolphins, and... Washington must have played with a million different quarterbacks. So I'm thinking Rice, Rison, but I don't think Rice played on 4 teams.
I think he technically did, right? Didn't
No, he played on the Niners, the Raiders, and the Seahawks. Was there a 4th team?
No, so I think it was I was thinking the Seahawks. I know the Seahawks was the last team.
And Rison is way more than 4.
Oh, we might have something here.
You guys want to call a friend or need any other helping hands?
I don't appreciate you right now. Fitzgerald is obviously only the one team. I mean, just because 4 teams?
4 teams.
You're the only one. Now, Ty, are you involved in this with me?
I'm not.
So you're going to leave me all on my own here.
I mean, it's what's the name of the segment?
You Stump Bob Butler. All right,
Duke
I guess.
Gamer. Question mark. Stump Rothenberg.
I guess I'm going to go with, is Ricky Prohl? I hate when this happens.
When the Wi-Fi is glitching, you mean?
I have no Wi-Fi at all now, by the way. I don't know if you see, I've been completely kicked off the Zoom call.
Oh, wow.
So I have 0
So that's
Wi-Fi.
Why you're struggling.
No, it's because it's a good question. I'm gonna go. See, I think Prohl is more than 4 teams. New Jersey's own Ricky Prohl. I'm gonna go with Irving Fryer. Will be my answer.
Dave, when you said this morning before the show started that your Wi-Fi was down, I thought today was gonna be my day. But you are the smartest man that I have ever met. And
look
it is indeed Irving Fryer. I don't know how you pulled that one out, but yes, Irving Fryer
from Nebraska
holds the record for the most touchdown receptions from the most quarterbacks, 19, and he only played on 4 teams, the Patriots, the Dolphins, the Eagles, and the Redskins.
Do you see what I do? Really, do you see what I'm able to do?
Was that hard enough? Was that a hard enough question?
That was not an easy question. That, I mean, oh, all right. What are we, 3-1 here, Ty?
I mean, when you give you the nugget that four teams, it kind of helps you out a little bit.
You know
bit,
what? Did you know it?
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. 3-1.
You know, you're a bad guy.
That
all
was
right.
A really good question.
Now, Stump Rothenberg continues with you right here on 98.7 ESPN.
3-1, baby.
3-1. Stump Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by Sloman's and NYSSPCA, the New York Structural Steel Painting Contractors Association. Like I told you, Ty, I am without internet. So any cheating that you believe is taking place ordinarily on a Saturday can't happen today because I have no internet, which means I don't know what's happening with the calls. I don't know. I am flying blind. Right. So you tell me what we're doing now.
Good Lord, you're good.
Good Lord, you're good. Even blind. Let's go to Taylor in Ringwood.
All right, Taylor in Ringwood, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Oh, Taylor. Not a great start.
No, that's on you.
Taylor?
Completely on you. Oh, Ty, man. Now where are we going?
All right, let's go to Drew in White Plains.
Drew in White Plains. You're on Stump Rothenberg, Drew.
Hello.
Hello, Drew. Go ahead.
Hi. Interestingly, I'm in White Plains now, but I'm from Ringwood. So.
Oh, that is very interesting. Go ahead.
I'll take Taylor's bet.
Where are we going? Give me the – because I don't even know – on my screen, I don't have a screen right now. So where are we going?
Major League Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Who had the most RBIs in the decade of the 1940s?
Most RBIs in the 40s. All right, so you'd think DiMaggio. You think Hank Greenberg. Who else is a 40? I mean, it's not Mantle, it's pre-Mantle.
By the way, I'm impressed with your knowledge overall.
Thank you
ran across you a couple of weeks ago by accident, and I really enjoyed it.
That's no accident.
well, running by you was an accident.
Like physically, you guys were in the same place, same area?
No.
That's pretty cool.
Stop it. So I'm thinking DiMaggio, Williams. I think Greenberg is premature there.
Mike Greenberg.
No, not Mike. Hank Greenberg. But I think he's more 30s and then into the 40s. So I'm thinking it's DiMaggio or Williams would be my...
You're thinking wrong both times.
Really?
See, we're now jumping off sides. On the hard
Bob
count.
Elliott, Cleveland.
Well, hang on. That's not fair.
Why?
Yeah, that was a disaster on all fronts.
That's not fair.
I don't know what happened there.
No, I will say this. Because I'm a decent guy, I wouldn't have gotten that right.
Yeah, but we're going to have to strike it from the record because you didn't officially answer the question.
But I didn't know it.
There was like a hard count, and he's like jumping off sides. That was very troubling.
Put him up there.
It was troubling. All right. Steve in Brooklyn, he stumped you, so he's back for round two.
All right, Steve, a chance at the daily double. Go ahead.
Knicks legend, Ramon Sessions.
Ooh, he was a Laker, too.
The guard, I believe, Ramon Sessions.
Correct.
Ramon Sessions. I don't know why I'm thinking Nevada, but I think he's from South Carolina, so I'm confused why I think it's Nevada. And he also played in the Israeli Basketball League.
He did finish his career with Maccabi Tel Aviv.
Yeah. I don't know why I think it's the University of Nevada. I'm going to go with that final answer, and I'm actually concerned that I might get this one wrong, and he might be the first one to ever get the daily double.
Your first instinct is always right, Dave. You went to Nevada.
Wow. Yes.
You gave me a little scare there.
God is my witness. I thought it was like 50-50 that
Something's
we were wrong on that one.
What's wrong with you today? What's going on? You just feel frazzled.
Well, I don't have internet. Like, I don't have any. So, I can't see who the callers are. I don't know what's happening. I'm trying to connect and I can't connect. Like it's not a good day for me.
It's all falling apart. All right, let's try to end strongly here.
And there's a boop.
You're 4-1.
And
now.
Another boop.
That's a great drop right there. You're 4-1. Much better than your New York Football Giants, who are 3-7. So let's end with the machine gun, as we say.
Okay.
You know what,
machine? I look at this as the machine gun that goes to the garden and like spits out T-shirts.
That's pretty cool. I almost caught one the other day when I was at the Laker game. Yeah.
If you caught it, would you give it to a child near you?
No, I'd probably bring it home to my wife.
Okay.
She deserves everything. Chris Humphries.
You mean Mr. Kim Kardashian?
Mr. Kim Kardashian.
Right?
Yes.
That Chris Humphries.
That's Pete Davidson now.
No, that's anyone gets a turn.
Or Kanye.
Where did he go to? I'm thinking Ohio State. Did he go to Ohio State? Maybe he went to Minnesota. I think he's a Big Ten guy.
He is a big guy. He's at 6'9".
He was a good player. He's a good rebounder. I'm going to say Minnesota, actually. It was Minnesota.
You would be correct, my friend. NBA champion, Udonis Haslam.
Florida.
Okay. NBA champion, I believe, or maybe not, Eric Dampier. No, he never won a title.
Eric Dampier. He did play with the Warriors. He's an SEC guy. I think he's Mississippi State. He's either Mississippi State or Alabama, but I'm confident it's Mississippi State.
Okay, what's your final answer?
Mississippi State.
All right, you'd be correct. How about our guy? Big, big fan of the show, Rasul Butler.
Like a LaSalle? Where is Rasul Butler? I think he's LaSalle. Final answer.
You would be correct, my friend. There's actually an ESPN NBA analyst who also went to LaSalle. Right now, prominent.
Tim Legler.
Tim, there you go. Last one, Kelly Olynyk.
Kelly Olynyk. Canadian, I believe. He's Gonzaga.
He is Gonzaga. So you go 9-1. A couple of streaks still alive here. Never gotten more than 4 questions incorrect in one setting.
Right.
The daily double still has not been successful. And also, we went under 2.5. We are correct.
You are.
I'm correct.
Correct. Jake.
The very disrespectful.
I'll take
very
the L. I will take the L.
Disrespectful and very incorrect.
It's time for a frenzy. A football frenzy.
You could say that 10,000 times and it still wouldn't be enough.
It fires me up, man.
I love
it.
Say it one more time.
A football frenzy. Any team, any player, any question.
And away we go. It's Rothenberg, it's Bell with you. Football frenzy, Saturday of Thanksgiving weekend, 98.7 ESPN. RJ, are you ready to dance with me, my friend?
Have you ever danced with the devil by the pale moonlight?
Oh, I see what you did there. You're going to be good. This is your time to shine. It's the football frenzy. Questions are firing in. 1-800-919-3776 on Twitter at Rothenberg ESPN. Let's go. Fran in Massapequa. Fran, lead us off, my man. You are on the frenzy.
Dave and RJ, as youths growing up in America, what is your greatest moment playing personal sports that you guys were involved with? A personal achievement.
Now, I will say this, RJ. How is that a football frenzy?
Well, remember, you said that it's anything. You said no limit.
Anything in football. But I, you know what? I'm going to allow this because it's Thanksgiving weekend, and I think we should. Mine was I was in a huge tennis tournament in Massachusetts, the Northeast Regionals, and I won. And my dad was there and got to see it, and it was just one of the highlights of my sporting youth. So that would be my number one sports moment ever for me. What do you have?
You're gonna have to bear with me a second. This is probably not. I don't know if it's number one, but it's the most important. Little League,
yeah.
3-inning no hitter. That because that was the limit. But then they wouldn't give me the ball, which I was angry at. So I got a new ball and acted like it was the ball, and I had it up on my little mantle.
Why would they not give you the ball?
I don't know. I mean, it wasn't personal. It was maybe it was because it was just 9 outs. It could be that. But then someone stole the ball years later, and I was mad about it, but I forgot the fact it was a fake ball. That tells you a big story there about life.
You really are just a one-in-a-million kind of guy. Sal and Dutchess, we'll see if you can keep it to actual football. Sal, you're on the frenzy.
Mr. Bell, are you associated with the World Resort Casino in the Catskills with the sports desk?
And no, I've never heard those words said in combination before, so no.
Boy, I got to tell you, Ty Butler, who is really just a great producer, he's really hitting home runs here, huh?
Well, I mean, Dave, let's be candid. This audience has a special interest in me. Maybe it's kind of throwing people off.
Obviously. Let's see if we can get back on track, hopefully. Steve in Chappaqua. Steve, you're on the frenzy.
Oh, in the...
give him a chance. Give the poor guy a chance. At least it could be football.
I couldn't do it.
You cut him off?
I cut him off. If you don't get to it right away, he stuttered like five times. I don't know what to do.
Well, you clearly have.
I mean, we're off to a rough start in this frenzy.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
Is stuttered the right word for it?
I think kind of stammered would be the word I would use. Stammered.
Yeah. He was clearing his throat.
You know what? Let's do this. I have questions on Twitter that can't be messed up. Justin Knight, are the Falcons the favorites to win the NFC South next year? And the answer to that is no. That is preposterous. They will not win the NFC South next year.
I mean, especially Matt Ryan is on contract. You know, the contract extends into next year, the extension. And remember, they had to extend him not because they wanted to, but because they had to try to clear some money. This has been a real financial issue, the Julio Jones trade, financial issues. Atlanta still has cap issues.
Yeah, it seems like a silly question, to be honest. Not to destroy Justin Knight, but, I mean, you're probably going to have Tom Brady back in that division. They're going to probably win it. You have New Orleans in that division. God knows what they're going to do at quarterback. You have Carolina. God knows what they're going to do at quarterback. I would say, if you ask me, is Atlanta going to finish last in that division? Would be a more appropriate question than are they going to finish first, in fact, in that division. All right, 1-800-919-3776. Let's see if we can actually get a couple of questions on the air via the phone that are good. John in Florida. John, you're on the frenzy.
Can you give me your best parlay?
All right, right to it. Best parlay, RJ.
Okay, so this is what we'll do. The rest of the show, as we go game by game, I've been given, you know, 5 picks 2 weeks ago, 3 picks. So I'll make sure to have a best bet, Dave, and a number 2, so that will be our parlay. And then maybe even more. And as we talked about, my Super Bowl first time in a year's future bet.
All right, Nick and Rahway. Love it, RJ. Nick, you're on the frenzy.
Any chance the Giants extend Saquon Barkley? Hope to God the answer is no.
No, they can't do it now. I mean, you have another year under control of this guy. How in the world, being that he is what he is, which is at this point just a potentially very talented, oft-injured running back, RJ, how in the world could you extend him when you have control of him for another year?
Well, ask the Rams and Gurley.
And how did that play out for them?
I mean, that's what I'm saying. They 3 years in, as soon as they could, they did. Now, the question becomes, does Barkley not have the equity that, like, Zeke Elliott had? Because remember, after 3 years, Zeke said, I'm going to Cabo. Tell me when we have a contract. So it's interesting. In this age of player empowerment, where is the limit to what a player can do? I don't know if we've really found that limit where the public will turn on him.
I just don't think he's that great. I think that the potential has been there, but I don't think it's that great.
If he was the 22nd pick in the draft and he was injured as much, you know, everything else was the same, I think the story would be, oh, if he can just stay healthy. I think because it was a controversial pick, it makes it harder for him, which I think is fair, but I do think it colors people's
perception.
It wasn't
even a controversial pick. It was just a terrible pick. And I think he's a nice kid. I've met him. He's a really nice guy. But you're right. Two? You can't take him two. It's a terrible pick. Steve Brudzinski tweets in, are my Vikings the best 5-5 team to make a push for the playoffs? They got a big game against the Niners tomorrow, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I tell you, I wonder. I'm a Zimmer fan generally. I mean, his ATS record's amazing against the spread. over the his career, you know, since he started with the Vikings. But it feels like there's been more controversy or distractions on that team than any team in the league, or at least right up there, and the Raiders obviously another one. You've got to wonder, is it just random, or is there some connecting thread? And like we saw with the Raiders prior to this week, or, you know, Thursday, is when you have these distractions, they tend to compound and eventually reaches a tipping point. I'm not anxious to play Minnesota just because I wonder how focused the team is.
Yeah, no, you're right. The Everson Griffin story certainly is a big story, and it's not the first time that we've dealt with this with him. Craig in Jersey. Craig, you're on the Frenzy. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. He stole my thunder. Are my Vikings going to make the playoffs? And if so, please bring back the 1970s uniforms. These new ones are horrible.
I'm not sure the 0-4 in Super Bowls they want to bring back. That's the thing about minute. People forget that the purple that purple defense, whatever it was called, is
purple people eaters. Yes.
Yeah, yes, that's it. And Fran Tarkenton. Yep. Oh man, he was of the age I never saw him play, but he was as a kid you heard about him. He was the guy, you know, the scrambler. Here's what I find fascinating. San Francisco is considered a really good team that has played less than good at times. Okay. Minnesota, same thing. They're the team that's played better than their record more than any other team. Minnesota, number one. But then you got Philadelphia. Last week, New Orleans was the best rushing defense in the league. Philly was running the ball like it was 1977, and everyone thought, or many thought, okay, this is where it ends. And Philly just ran through them. Now, if New Orleans can't stop that rush, then who can? And if Philly can run like that and Hurts can pass effectively, though not great, who doesn't make it there? Minnesota, because there's two slots, Minnesota, San Fran,
yep.
Philly, that's the race. I like Philly to make it.
I agree with you. I like them to make it, and look at their schedule. It is not, I mean, they played the Giants twice. They still have Washington. They do not have the toughest schedule in the NFL. One more, and this is going to get me a little angry. Because it's like you take your head and you run headfirst into the wall over and over and over, expecting a different result. Sean Cloud tweets in, if the Giants beat the Eagles, is the season still able to be saved? No! The Giants stink. I don't know how many more times you need to see how bad this team is before you just understand, no, they are salvaging nothing. RJ, I'm sorry to raise my voice with you here, but
no,
it gets me angry.
Let me pose two quick questions to you, Dave. One, or this might not be quick. How unequivocal are you on Daniel Jones is not the guy?
I'm not definitive on that yet. I think the offensive line
is smart.
I think it's so bad that I think it's tough to get a true test of what in fact he is.
Take a look at his passer, or you know, I like to use a combination of QBR and PFF grade. One's looking back, one's looking forward. If you look at him pre-concussion, he was trending up. And I mean, to the point of if he even played that level, he's probably 14th, 15th best quarterback in the league. And since the concussion, it's been straight down. Is that a coincidence? I don't know. There's lingering effects. And I'm not saying, hey, you can always find, oh, the wind was blowing that day. But I don't know, man. I don't see him in practice, but there was a lot. We were 1 week away from a lot of Daniel Jones's, Josh Allen, the next Josh Allen. I'm not saying that would have been legitimate. I'm saying that would have been the conversation. Now, and you got one more. Well, I guess they're going to have to choose to pick up his option, right, this offseason. I don't think they don't pick up his option, so they got 2 years left.
If they want 2 years left, they got 2 years left. Yeah. I think what's going to happen, RJ, is that it's going to be determined by the new GM and maybe the new coach of whether this is the quarterback that they wanted.
Do you think Judge goes?
I don't think we know. I listen, they're 3-7. If they finish out 4-13 or 5-12 and they hemorrhage to the finish line of the season, you don't think there's a chance that Joe Judge is not back?
I tell you this, if you keep Daniel Jones, you keep Judge.
I think that's fair. But you're going to have a new GM.
Oh, yeah, well, okay. I know everyone wants the GM to handpick his coach, but that's a 2-3 year thing to bring in. I mean, look at Carolina. It's 2 years in, and seemingly they're not even getting their footing yet.
No, and they don't have the quarterback, which is the million-dollar question. All right, let's blow it, Dad. We've gone way long, although it was an exceptional frenzy once we got past Ty's issues to start.